This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Dennis misrepresented me on our latest Twitter poll. Just want to clear this up. It was not should ketchup be placed on eggs. I said it can. Difference. I just don't have a problem with it. It's a rarity, but I'm not going to say that I haven't done it. Plate of egg. Actually, a Swiss cheese omelet with a little sweet of ketchup is not bad, but it's acceptable to me if there's a plate of home fries, not hash browns, which suck. Home fries. That's with like peppers and onions kind of diced in there. If there's like the remnants of that, that's okay. Mm-hmm. That's all right. But again, can versus should, very, very different. I just wanted to make that clear.
I don't think they should.
Okay.
At all.
It should be a felony in your eyes.
Yes.
And that's fair. And that... And that's fair. I appreciate you taking a stance. All right. Let's talk about the NBA with my friend Kanata Edwards, not on the scribe from CBSSports.com. I thank you very much, my friend, for hanging out. Let's get to the and we'll talk Mets at the end. Let's get to first the Hornets before we get into free agency. When you and I last communicated, this goes now back about 10 days or so, the Miles Bridges news was breaking. I think the news kind of has stopped coming out when his, I assume now, ex-girlfriend tweeted out some pictures or put some pictures on Instagram that were just gruesome to see. And the Hornets withdrew their qualifying offer to him. So I'm just going to assume, because I don't know how it works in every sport, his days with the Hornets are over?
I wouldn't go that far. I'm not sure that there's actually been any news that they've withdrawn that.
Okay. I thought I'd read that they had withdrawn the offer.
There are plenty of people that expect it to be withdrawn. I'm not sure they're actually withdrawing it. And at this point, when we last talked about this, I was one of those that thought, no matter what, he can't come back.
Right.
After a couple of conversations I've had with a few people, I'm not so sure they're going to withdraw that. Do I expect him to play this upcoming year? No. Do I expect him to be on some form of the roster because Miles Bridges is not going to have another offer? Most likely he will be on the roster. Whether he's drawing a check from them, totally different, because I expect a very lengthy suspension at this point. I think with him, the market's not going to be there. And more importantly, I would not be shocked to see what happens on July 20th. And that's the most important date to all of this, is his first trial date is July 20th. And we will figure out what they're going to charge. Remember, as a reminder, they have already set him up. He's already been charged with felony domestic violence, not a misdemeanor. Mm-hmm. This is not the garden variety domestic violence. This is felony domestic violence off the rip. So it's a little bit different. They have enough evidence, especially with the Instagram posts and everything like that. I think the big date that we have to watch out for, quite honestly, July 20th, and then we'll see what they'll do after that.
Look, it's not good for anybody. It's not good for his former girlfriend. It's obviously not good for him because it really derails what looks like it was going to be a very promising career. And maybe he gets back to it. Maybe he rehabilitates himself and avoids jail time. Either way, and kind of gets back to, you know, the business of playing basketball and being a productive member of society. I don't want to diminish any of it. And it's bad for the NBA to see a rising star. And I think he is a rising star in the league. I think it's bad for the NBA as well as the Charlotte Hornets. Where does it leave the Hornets, who are now led again by Steve Clifford, which, I'm sorry, I chuckled, but I'm okay with it because I didn't think Clifford was bad to begin with. But where does it leave the Hornets?
I would put it this way. If you expect them to win 45, 47 games, I would tell you that you have lost your mind.
Right.
I think the Hornets effectively, through no fault of their own, lost their leading scorer last year. And at this point, you're talking about bringing on a Mark Williams who hasn't looked bad in summer league. You're talking about Mason Plumlee coming back. You're talking about relying more on Gordon Hayward, who hasn't played more than 47 games in a Hornets uniform in one season yet, and has not played in either of the play-in games and been available late when they need him most. Mm-hmm. You have Terry Rozier, who kind of had one of those seasons that makes you think that his breakout year was more of the bubble and just practice gym jumper things. And then you have LaMelo Ball, who is probably the lone bright spot. I they're in a spot where I'm not sure what you can necessarily do to improve. You're going to rely on a lot on internal improvement. You're going to rely a lot on maybe some teams falling apart due to injury. Chicago comes to mind. Mm-hmm. Cleveland may not be as good, but in terms of what the Hornets are doing right now, there's not much I feel confident in outside of the fact they'll probably win 40-something games, 42, 43, and we'll see where they are come playing time at this point.
Well, the good thing is the play-in game is going to be voted to become permanent, which I kind of like the play-in tournament. Play-in tournament adds some excitement. I hope the NHL ultimately does the same thing, even though the NHL is a little bit more of a crapshoot on a game-to-game basis, but I wish the NHL would do that. All right, let me get to some other things, and we will start with, you mentioned Summer League, so let me ask you two things about Summer League. The first is, was Paolo Banchero really that good that the Orlando Magic said, you know what, we've seen enough, you're done playing?
Yes, well, it's a little bit of both, because you see a lot of these guys get hurt in these games, and then it becomes a, hey, it's more important for you to install what we're going to do for this upcoming season in late August, September, October, and have you available for that than be sidelined for 6 weeks with an ankle injury and not have any conditioning coming into training camp. I get that. But Banchero's been, dare I say, Weber-like.
Yeah.
And he's been fun. He's been better than I thought as a pro. He's been much better of a ball distributor. And quite frankly, I'm wondering why we didn't see more of this while he was in Cameron.
Well, like, we did see the distribution. Excellent. We did see the passing. The one thing going into the draft, the way I looked at it, Jabari Smith was the best athlete. Chet Holmgren probably had the best ball skill set. But Paolo Banchero's body and the fact that he is a good but not great shooter but has good mid-range ability is a great – I think he's a great passer, not a good passer. Like, that's why the comparison to Weber worked for me. Didn't quite have the body of Weber. But I think he's got more game away from the basket than Weber had. My only question was, would he be quick enough to play the modern NBA game? Because he's going to get matched up on players who are quick. I mean, he'll get matched up with Jabari Smith, who's quicker than Banchero. But holy cow, the total package, man, he is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and at this point, he looks like more of a sure bet to see a few more All-Star games than Jabari Smith at this point, who still needs to work on his handle, and Chet Holmgren, who we all know his biggest deficiency is, can his body withstand the pounding of an 82-game season plus? Like, those things, like, at this point, Paolo just looks like he's going to be ready to go. And if you're a team like the Hornets, whose weakness might be center, center or big at this point, good luck seeing him four times a year.
You can read through Chet Holmgren, by the way. I don't know if you knew that, but yes. You can see right through.
Yeah,
through
his His body type is translucent. I get it.
All right, so here's my other question about Summer League. Should I read anything into it that Kyrie Irving has been seen at a lot of Lakers Summer League games?
Well, I think it's obvious that, like, I think it's obvious where Kyrie wants to go. He either wants to go to L.A. to play for the Clippers or the Lakers. For whatever reason, there's Jerry West, and we know what the Jerry West antics, thankfully, through Winning Time and through other anecdotal stories. Because, again, not only is there Winning Time, but remember, Jerry West threatened to quit if they traded Klay Thompson for Kevin Love.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that Jerry West is going to sit there and be a part of any sort of shenanigans that involves bringing Kyrie Irving to the Clippers? Because I don't. I personally don't. And the Lakers, they have two picks that are worth anything, the 2027, 2029. I don't see them dealing those because there has to be a post-AD life. There has to be a post-LeBron life. And unfortunately, Lonnie Walker's not going to be a part of that. Talen Horton Tucker's not going to be a part of that. Those guys are just not stars.
But wait a second. Doesn't it have to be maximizing the LeBron? Like, I think their roster with LeBron right now, because I don't believe Anthony Davis is in any way, shape, or form reliable physically.
No.
I think their roster is a play-in roster at best, and that's with LeBron. With Kyrie, look, I'm not saying that they should go get Kyrie, but I don't think that the 27 or 29 first-round pick, I don't think giving that up should stop you from making your roster better. Of course, you must find a home for Russell Westbrook's contract.
There's that, but also I would add to you, who do you think the best guy that they can get is? Kyrie? How many wins does that really add? And does that put you
Well, he's not reliable either. So
exactly. That's also I was going to be my next point.
Like, go get Durant.
I don't think they can get Durant. I legitimately don't think they can get Durant unless you're telling me that the Brooklyn Nets are taking AD. I don't. There's going to be when we start having these conversations about how far the Lakers can get, think about the teams out west that are better than the Lakers right now.
Most
Denver.
Of them.
Yeah, exactly. You're talking about Denver, Dallas, the Clippers, Phoenix, even with or without Ayton right now. That's five. And there's probably an egregious team that I'm probably stumbling to forget, right? I'm stumbling to remember right now. So you're talking about five teams already. Kyrie is not making them a top, like, they're not making them more than a playing team at this point, because Kyrie, at the same point, hasn't played, what, more than 40 games?
Right.
Like, he's played less games than Gordon Hayward has in the last couple of seasons.
Interesting that they went to Boston at the same time. I don't know if that has anything to do with it.
Exactly. We can all blame Lucky the Leprechaun for that. But still, we're talking about a guy that's not really available. He's not lifting the ceiling. If you're going to talk about getting Durant, Durant's going to have to be like, this is the only place I'm going, and there's nothing you can stop. Like, it's the only place. He doesn't have a no trade. He can go wherever he wants, and you have 4 years of cap control. So unless – and the other thing is, Sean Marks, talking about Durant, does not want to deal him for cheap.
Sure.
So you're talking about a Lakers team right now that pretty much is stuck in the play-in, and that's entertaining and everything. But at the same point, like, they're not winning a title anytime soon.
Where's Kevin Durant going, or is he staying in Brooklyn?
He's staying in Brooklyn. He has no leverage. He has no leverage. Unless you're telling me that Kevin Durant, the guy who's addicted to two things, Twitter and basketball, is going to outright retire just to be a professional tweeter, which, mind you, he has the money to do.
Yeah.
If you're telling me he does that, cool. I believe you. But unless he's really going to be willing to walk away from the game, I think he's got no leverage, and especially since he signed that contract.
All right, final thing. How encouraged were you by Max Scherzer last night?
I'm hoping against hope that they hold on to this lead, but I feel uneasy about this lead right now, Adam. I may need to text you about this after the All-Star break, because this feels familiar, where the Braves act like the Freeze and they will catch us, and they will pass us, and they will trip us while we run, and they will laugh.
The Braves,
that's my fear right now.
The Braves are good. The Mets went 7 weeks with no Max Scherzer. He comes back. This is his second start. He was amazing last night. Jacob DeGrom has thrown as many pitches as you have for the Mets this year, and they still have the best record in the National League East, which may be the best division in the – no, the West is the best division because the Padres and the Giants are good too. But I'm not concerned. You know, when they get their two best pitchers, it makes everything better.
Well, again, this also assumes that, like, Scherzer's not, like, in his high 30s, and he might not see another IL stint.
He's bionic.
We hope. Here's
the deal. I actually thought about this last night. Max Scherzer has entered into the Pedro Martinez part of his career, where he needs is just some time off in the middle of the season, and then he's fine. Pedro used to take basically August off toward the end, and then he would be great in September.
But can you afford to take August off?
But Scherzer's already taken his time off. He was out for 7 weeks.
Okay, I'm hoping. I'm choosing to believe right now, Adam. That this is gonna.
You don't sound. I don't sense any confidence. None.
Sir, do we really need to go over the last 30 years?
No, I understand that, but I don't sense any confidence. So don't try to sell confidence when you can't.
I cannot. I'm just going to be quietly optimistic. Quietly.
Very quietly.
You know me. I don't do optimism. I don't do optimism.
That's
like that.
True. That's true.
I'm going to say quietly optimistic and pray that that they hold on to this lead, because I don't want to see what happens if they're in the wild card. That's all.
My friend Nana describing the fetal position even after a Mets 4-1 win over the Braves last night. Hopefully they can do it again tonight. My friend, I will talk to you very soon. Be well.
Absolutely. Talk to you soon, man.
You got it. Follow him on Twitter at Nana Describe. There was nothing at all optimistic about that. Zero. All right. Let's see. Adam Gold here from my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. All right, Coach, simple. When do we start tax planning in retirement?
We should start as soon as possible, because here's one thing, Adam. Taxes are not going away.
Right.
And so the game here is, we know the rules. A lot of people want to ignore the rules or act like they aren't familiar with them, but the IRS knows the rules. And so when we get to retirement, they're going to reach in and start taking some of their money out of your accounts. So the secret here is to put a force field around as much as possible by strategically moving some of our money to Roth IRA or some of the other vehicles that aren't taxed, like special life insurance policies. You can borrow against your money there and never have to pay tax on your money that you build up inside your cash value. So there are a lot of strategies here. The one strategy that does not work is ignoring it. So let's make sure to not ignore it. The next 10 people will do for you your very own tax and retirement plan that'll help you minimize taxation all the way through retirement.
800-661-7383. All you got is call, or you can text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. Let's see what we got at halftime.
And now your halftime entertainment.
All right, sir.
All right. Almost four on the board today.
Just trying to talk some positivity into Nada. Look,
we'll see. We might see him in Charlotte at ACC Media Day.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
It's going to be fireworks in Charlotte.
Absolutely. Going to be a good time down there in Charlotte. But before we get to Charlotte, let's take care of today and tomorrow, which are Amazon Prime days. Deals galore, sir.
Oh, wow. Yes.
Yeah. Not going to lie, I'm not really sure everything that's available.
That's right,
on
today
Amazon
and tomorrow,
Prime.
Amazon Prime Days.
Yeah.
You buy all the toilet paper you want.
I mean, that used to be a big deal.
Yeah, it's true.
It really did.
True story.
If you can find it, if it was tissue paper.
Like a month into the pandemic, my wife bought a giant box of toilet paper.
Okay. Go on.
I don't know how much you paid for it. It wasn't outrageous. And there had to be 500 rolls.
Did you buy a pallet?
It seemed like it.
Yeah.
And that wasn't 500, but it was probably 250 rolls of toilet paper.
Still a lot of toilet paper.
Yeah, it was. Definitely. It was pretty good. Individually wrapped, too.
Oh, there you go.
Very nice.
You still have some?
No. It was like a month into the pandemic.
Yeah.
It was like March of 2020.
Yeah, I thought you were about to say, yeah, still got some. I'm like, okay.
No, we're out. We're out of that. But now you can find toilet paper everywhere.
Yeah, well, nowadays you can.
Ketchup. We talk toilet paper.
What day is it? July 12th.
Right.
There's some deals going on. For example, you can get subscriptions to Paramount Plus or Stars for 99 cents for a couple months before it goes to a regular price as part of Amazon Prime Days. I haven't really looked to see what all is available out there, but I might explore because why not? Why not? You have anything you're going to shop for, sir? Amazon Prime Days?
No.
Okay.
Are there like vacation homes?
I'm sure there are. If it's on,
I mean, not to buy, but like to rent
to
for
rent.
A,
I'm sure
for
it's
a
on
week.
Amazon. Why not? Also, Matthew Berry is leaving ESPN. For anyone that's seen the daily fantasy sports stuff, especially during the NFL, or even just the weekly NFL fantasy sports, Matthew Berry's been front and center with that announced today. This is his last week at ESPN.
He's a very talented guy. He's not just a fantasy sports guy. Mm-hmm. He's like a comedy writer.
Yeah.
So he might be going to do some stuff like that.
I'm wondering with the way FanDuel, DraftKings have taken off even further now that sports betting is legal in many states, if he'll be picked up by someone like them because they also still do daily fantasy sports and there's an opportunity there for the way they break down the numbers and such, if that is an opportunity for him to do some gambling stuff potentially as well. So I'm wondering if that's going to eventually matriculate. But
oh, I'm sure there is.
Way gambling and daily fantasy sports, because you can make money off that. Yeah, it's a prime opportunity for him to go do something else if he wants
No question.
I didn't know this, but apparently there's going to be a Bad Boys 4 movie.
With Will Smith and Martin Lawrence?
Yeah.
I haven't seen any of the Bad Boys movies.
I've seen the first couple. I didn't see the most recent one that came out a few years ago. But Martin Lawrence did report today. I guess there were reports sequel being delayed after Will Smith's Oscar incident or whatever. But apparently those have been debunked. Martin Lawrence, I guess, gave a new update today saying, yeah, things are on pace for the sequel to still come out. I don't know what the release date is, but Bad Boys for Life that came out a couple years ago brought in $420 million worldwide. So I guess they got that going for them.
Okay.
But I think the first movie came out like, was it 99? I think the first Bad Boys movie came out.
I don't remember. I know it was a very popular series, and I like Will Smith, and I like Martin Lawrence, but I just never saw the movie.
First one's 95.
Wow.
Second one was 2003. Most recent one, Bad Boys for Life, was 2020.
Holy cow.
Still doing it. Richard Jefferson officiated a summer league game last night. For a quarter. Now, he went through like the daily officials meeting and such at the summer league, and they, I guess, kind of threw it in there for him to officiate a quarter of a basketball game. Can't remember which one that he did, but kind of cool for someone that's an analyst of the game, someone who played the game, to step into a different role and see it from an official's perspective, because you have to view the game differently. You can't sit there and say in your head, oh, was that a good play, or was that the right move, was that a good decision? You just have to see it for what it is, as opposed to trying and analyzing it, which I think is kind of neat. Gives people a bit of a different perspective. I need more of this. He did Knicks versus Blazers.
I actually think it's very cool.
I think it's neat.
Did he suck?
Apparently he blew a call pretty early on. An obvious call. Apparently
Look
he missed it.
Here's the thing. This is part of why I complain so much about the complaints. All sports have become very difficult to officiate, right? Maybe baseball is the one sport that really hasn't changed, right? You're not dealing with baseball is not a game of constant action. You are dealing with higher velocity pitching, but you should be able to call balls and strikes. That's the thing that obviously trips most umpires up. But, you know, a basketball game is getting quicker, getting more physical. Hockey is faster and faster. Those are just difficult games to officiate, which makes more sense to rely more on replay. But I think these guys do a good enough job. They don't get them all right. They do a good enough job. Like, I'm anti-replay, but I just think there could be a quicker way to do replay more than anything else if we're going to rely on it. But I think it's just a hard thing to do. I wouldn't want to do it. You'd have to pay me a lot of money to get me to do that. Who wants that life?
No, being official, you're never going to get praise.
My gosh.
You never get praise. You are constantly going to be picked apart and bombarded.
So I don't even know their names, right? But it seems like the same guys do NBA play, like the finals. Mm-hmm. It seems like the same officials do the finals every year. And there is nobody that likes any of them.
No. Nobody likes officials.
I mean, the same thing happens in the NHL.
It happens in Major League Baseball, too.
Yeah, but the problem with Major League Baseball is that they keep giving Angel Hernandez postseason assignments for no reason at all.
Yeah.
He's terrible. Everybody knows he's bad, and he still gets postseason assignments.
I wonder if he knows that he's bad, and he's just, like, leaning into
He's laughing.
I think he just leans
he's
into it.
Laughing
like, you know what? They're talking about
day
me.
Long.
They're talking about me. I'm going to lean into this.
Exactly.
All right, final note here. There's been, in the world of gaming, there's been a lot of rumor and speculation, and rightfully so, about the classic N64 game GoldenEye 007 being remastered and being put out on the Xbox consoles, because there was a list of achievements that were put out earlier this year. So a lot of people were expecting recently for there to be an announcement about game release, you know, how people can get it, so on and so forth. But that did not happen, and apparently the reason for this is because the war that is actually taking place in the Ukraine.
Right.
Because there's different studios that are developing in different locations around the world. So I know there's some other games that had to get delayed because production studios had to move and so on and so forth. But the team lead, that I guess was one of the people working on it, actually left Microsoft. So who knows what it means for the game. So apparently it's still in a little bit limbo to remaster it for an Xbox. But a lot of people are demanding it and wanting the game. So I still think it's going to happen, but it may not come out as soon as people want it to.
Man.
Yeah.
Crushing.
It's a great game, by the way. If anybody had an N64, if you had GoldenEye, you played that game for hours.
I saw it in the in the arcades.
Yeah.
Was it the same game?
Probably. GoldenEye.
Can I get Ms. Pac-Man?
On
Centipede.
Xbox? No.
Centipede.
No. I'm not going to lie. I wish that they had those games available on Xbox. Now, I think there's some different small consoles where they have all those games loaded up.
Right.
Where you can play all those. But I wish just on my Xbox I could download those games. I would play Pac-Man. I would have all those.
Centipede.
I was a Galaga guy.
Yeah, I didn't play that. I played a little bit of Asteroids.
Asteroids is also
Space
a
Invaders.
Great game.
Played Space Invaders.
Space Invaders.
I also like Breakout.
Okay.
I was into Breakout. Because like my video game ability was basically Pong as a kid. And Breakout's kind of the same.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing.
A little Wrecking Crew.
Yeah.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.
I think we're doing this every day now to taunt the North Carolina General Assembly. Come on, people. We could be having fun. Legally having fun.
Right?
As it was pointed out to me several times on social media outlets, my bookie thinks the North Carolina General Assembly.
I'm sure they do.
People, come on. Let's do it. Let's call a special session and let's push it through and let's all have fun at, DraftKings.com. All right, let's play some bets.
Place your bets. Place your bets. Here we are.
By the way, just remember, we need to have our daily sponsor.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. I think the P Street Bridge is still sponsoring.
Is it?
Yes.
Not ketchup manufacturers worldwide?
No. Yes, this is brought to you by the number 57. That's on the side of the.
Oh, it's like Sesame
bottle.
Street. Do you put ketchup on? What do you put ketchup on? Because I generally do not use it at all.
French fries are a go-to, obviously.
Yeah, I don't good French fries, which I prefer, don't need it.
Okay, we
a good steak fry. I don't need it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't have to, but okay. I do. So French fries are a go-to, like a cheeseburger. Always a go-to.
Like a steak sauce. Steak sauce, yeah. Better than ketchup.
Not my thing. I got a Chick-fil-A sandwich. Perfect.
What?
I got a Chick-fil-A sandwich. Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich.
With ketchup?
Yeah.
You're coming at me for putting ketchup on eggs? I don't do. I'm just saying I can understand it.
Yeah, the fried chicken from Chick-fil-A. Yeah, people put ketchup on that all the time. Don't look at me
Why?
Like I'm crazy.
Why would you do
More
that?
More people put ketchup on a Chick-fil-A sandwich than they do on eggs. I guarantee you. I'll put a new poll out.
That is appalling.
That is not appalling.
No, it's ridiculous.
That's not ridiculous.
Should be arrested.
No. Not the grilled chicken. It's the fried chicken one. Whatever it is.
Chicken tenders,
chicken strips.
You don't put ketchup on chicken anyway.
Chicken tenders. Chicken or the egg?
I'm launching an investigation.
Please do.
You go first.
I'll take the Mets to win plus 175.
Yeah, the Mets are plus money
tonight.
Yeah. The Braves are better against left-handed pitching.
Sure.
All right, and David Peterson is a lefty tonight. He struggled for a while, pitched, I think, really well his last start. But, yeah, Mets at plus money, very, very good. You and I both won our baseball bets yesterday.
We
Austin
did.
Riley homered. Max Scherzer pitched well. I won my cricket bet today. Rohit Sharma was the India's top batsman.
Okay.
In their one-day international. England was terrible. Absolutely flat-out terrible today.
Their manager should be sacked.
No, seriously. They got, who was it? Jasprit Bumrah claimed 7 wickets in 44 bowls.
I don't know what that means.
Well, you get 10 wickets before you're done batting.
Okay.
And he claimed seven of them, or is it six? 6 wickets in 44 pitches, essentially, bowls.
Okay.
It's incredible bowling right there. Sharma was easy. They didn't get anybody out. No wickets. England claimed no wickets. It was an absolute runaway. But I have no cricket to bet today. So we'll give you an open championship wager. Tomorrow's wagers will all be open championship. Jordan Spieth at plus 1,600 to win.
Okay.
Right, I like Jordan Spieth very much this week. Jordan Spieth to win at plus 1,600, you're up.
All right, I'm going back to Women's Euro.
Okay.
UEFA Euro 2022. Give me Spain and Germany. They're actually about to kick off here in about an hour.
Okay.
Draw plus 240.
Draw plus, what is Spain?
Spain's a plus 150. Germany's a plus 185.
So it should be a heck of a match. Spain is loaded.
That's why I'm going draw.
Obviously, they're both
good. Germany's
also
good.
They're both very good.
That's why I'm going
draw. All right,
draw.
We are
going
to go to the Mets and the Braves today. Francisco Lindor, 3 or more total bases at plus 310.
Okay.
Francisco Lindor, 3 or more total bases at plus 310.
All right, NBA Summer League. Bulls play the Raptors at 5 o'clock. Don't know who's playing. I'll take the Bulls at plus 190, though.
Yeah, yesterday you had a part of a bet that involved Paolo Banchero, and he's not playing anymore.
Yeah, I know.
Unbelievable. Let's see. Do the Knicks play in Summer League basketball tonight? They do not. Oh, we have Lakers-Clippers. Lakers are getting 4 from the Clippers. Give me the Lakers on the money line at plus 145.
Okay.
Lakers on the money line, Summer League basketball, plus 145. But I am now over 4,000 units.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it is insane. Hayes couldn't do enough damage. Hayes basically kept us afloat. Lost
kept
a little
you
bit.
Afloat.
A little bit. Yeah, he hurt you.
Yeah, he threw all the water onto my ship.
We are at plus 4,225. Get on board, people. Just get on board. And again, tomorrow, all of the wagers will be at the Open Championship, the home of golf. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh,
but it's
St.
at
Andrews?
St. Andrews, the home of golf. You put ketchup on a Chick-fil-A sandwich?
Yeah, who doesn't do that?
Do the Chick-fil-A people know that?
Yeah, they give it to you.
Yeah, but they give it to you for the fries.
No, I didn't even get it to get fries.
Nobody ever asked, hey, do you want ketchup on that sandwich? No.
Yeah, they do.
No. Gosh.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.